How do you even start the conversation about radiation therapy with your kids, your family, or your closest friends? Do you tell them everything? Do you hold back? Do you wait until they ask? These are some of the toughest conversations patients face, and there's no one-size-fits-all answer. But there are ways to make these conversations a little easier, clearer, and healthier for both you and the people who love you. Welcome to The Healing Beam, a podcast from Under the Beam. I'm Jared Hirschberger, and today we're talking about how to share your radiation therapy journey with the people in your life, from kids to partners to friends. Radiation therapy doesn't just impact you, it impacts your loved ones too. They feel stress, they worry, and they often don't know how to help without feeling intrusive. And while their first instinct may be to support you, the how depends a lot on what they know, what you share, and how you set boundaries. If you don't guide them, they might default to intrusive questions or unhelpful advice, which only adds to your burden. This episode will give you practical strategies and scripts to guide those conversations, shifting the dynamic from you being overwhelmed to you being supported. First, let's discuss how to talk about this topic with your kids. Kids notice more than we think. They pick up on changes in routines, moods, and even whispers around the house. And you know, their imagination will always fill in the blanks if you don't provide simple facts. The goal here is to provide enough information to prevent worry, but not so much detail that it causes confusion or anxiety. So, let's focus in on younger kids for now, ages 4 to 9. For younger kids, keep it simple and focus on the action and safety. Use clear but gentle language. A good phrase to use is, the doctors are using special invisible light rays to find the sick spot and help heal my body. You'll want to avoid scary words like cancer, bombardment, or burn. Instead, focus on routine. Explain that you'll be going to the clinic every weekday, almost like going to work, but you'll be home afterward. And then discuss the safety myths. This is the most crucial part. They need to know that radiation is not contagious. Reassure them, the rays go through me, but they don't stay in me. You can hug me and play with me right after my appointment, just like always. I'm still your mom or dad, and I'm still safe. This removes their biggest fear, which is losing access to you. For kids 10 and up, focus on honesty and impact. Older children and teens can handle more detail, but they worry about long-term life impact. They're likely going to Google things, so it's better that they hear the facts from you first. You'll want to emphasize process and precision. Use the mission control analogy we discussed for a previous episode. Explain that the doctors are using a giant high-tech robot and GPS to treat the area with extreme accuracy. You should also discuss side effects with them. Be honest about the most likely side effects, but frame them as temporary challenges. I might be more tired after treatment, and I might need to take naps, but I'm still me, and I can still help with homework. You can also give them a role. Teens often cope by helping. Give them a job. Maybe they manage the snack box or help walk the dog, or even do the dishes. This gives them agency and control, which can channel their worry into support. Okay, let's move on to talking with family and close friends. Family members and close friends often want every detail because they care deeply, but their intense focus on the medical facts can be exhausting for you. Sharing is a balance, and you have the right to control your narrative. So number one, decide your sharing comfort zone. Before conversations start, decide what you are and are not willing to discuss. Is the diagnosis okay, but the prognosis off limits? Is the physical sensation of treatment okay, but the side effect details off limits? Having this boundary ready is your first line of defense. Number two, use redirecting scripts to set boundaries. You don't have to be harsh to set a boundary. You just need to be clear. Here are three scripts you can use when you need to redirect an intrusive question. When asked for detailed medical updates, try saying, "I appreciate you asking, but I'm only talking to the doctor about that right now. I'd love to talk about the latest show we watched instead." This redirects from the medical to the normal. When receiving unsolicited advice, try saying this, "Thank you for the suggestion. My doctor has a strict protocol for my care, and I need to stick to their plan for now." This uses your medical team as the neutral shield. Finally, when you are too tired to talk, say this, "I am having a low energy day today, but I would love to hear from you tomorrow. Could you send me a text update on your week instead?" This makes the engagement about them, not you, which reduces your emotional labor. Number three, be honest about emotional limitations. It's okay to be honest about limitations. If you know that discussing worst-case scenarios raises your anxiety, tell them, "I know you're worried, but for my peace of mind, I'm focusing only on positive outcomes in the daily plan. Could we keep our talks focused there?" Setting these emotional rules helps keep your conversations nourishing, not draining. Okay, let's move on to friends and the wider circle now. Friends in the wider circle of acquaintances often want to help, but simply don't know how. This is where you need to be specific and intentional to prevent miscommunication and overwhelm. The first thing you can do is appoint a communication captain. The most efficient way to manage external inquiries is to delegate. Appoint one trusted friend or family member, your communication captain. They will be the single point of contact for updates. How this works, potentially, is you send one weekly summary update to the captain. The captain then shares that news with the wider circle. Why this works? This protects you from having to repeat the same information 50 times and allows you to focus your limited energy on healing. The second thing you can do is be specific about practical help. Friends can't read your mind, so don't be vague. Instead of saying, "Let me know if you can help," be specific. "A ride to treatment on Tuesdays would mean a lot," or "Checking in by text is easier for me right now than a phone call." You could even create an online sign-up sheet for specific, low-effort tasks like taking out the trash, doing a load of laundry, or dropping off a specific meal. This empowers them to help effectively without overstepping. The third thing is to allow normalcy and humor. Remember that not every conversation needs to center on cancer. Sometimes the best support is the most normal kind. If you allow humor when appropriate, like sharing a funny story from the waiting room or simply talking about a neutral topic, laughter can be a powerful form of support. It reminds everyone that you are still you and life still holds joy. Let's discuss how to empower loved ones without overwhelming yourself. The greatest shift you can make is transferring the burden of information from yourself to your support network. Your loved ones will have medical questions. That is a fact. But you do not have to be the sole source of answers. Encourage them to learn through trusted resources, like underthebeam.com, so the burden isn't always on you. You can say, "I know you have questions about the machine. I found a great video about it on my doctor's friend's website. Can you watch that and we can talk about how it makes you feel?" This keeps you in the role of the supported patient, not the doctor or the teacher. The next thing you can do is be clear about what's helpful versus what isn't. Set simple rules for visitors and acts of service. For example, "I love meals dropped off, but I'd rather not have surprise visits. I might be napping or resting. Unscheduled social visits during radiation are generally disruptive, and it's okay to protect your energy fiercely. Helping others understand is important, but your well-being comes first. If you feel that a conversation is costing you too much energy, you have the right to politely end it. Your primary job during this time is to heal, and that includes protecting your emotional resources. Before we close, there's one last critical phase of communication, and that's the period after your final treatment. For many patients, this is when the emotional labor peaks because everyone assumes you're instantly better. They will ask, "Are you all done?" or "Are you healed now?" The reality is your healing and recovery, especially managing fatigue, will continue for weeks or for months. This is when you must be honest about your ongoing limits. You can use a gentle script like, "I finished my active treatment, which is great news, but my body is now in recovery mode. My energy will be low for a while, but I'll let you know when I feel up for visitors." Setting this post-treatment boundary protects your recovery time and manages the enthusiasm of your loved ones. Talking about radiation therapy with the people closest to you isn't easy, but it can also be a source of strength. The more clear, honest, and compassionate your conversations, and the better you set those healthy boundaries, the more pure and focused your support system will become. Remember, you don't have to share everything, and you don't have to share it all at once. You are in control of your story. If you know someone who needs to have this conversation, please share this episode with them. This is the resource they need right now. My comprehensive concierge package includes a dedicated coaching session for caregivers too, and for other personalized one-on-one guidance on how to manage your family communication and boundaries, check out Phys Assist, which is my coaching service designed to empower you and loved ones during your treatment. Thanks for listening to The Healing Bee. Until next time, remember, healthy boundaries create healthy healing under the beam.